This program is made possible by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ulaga Church of Christ in Ulaga, Oklahoma. You're listening to Opening the Scriptures with Don Boyd.
In our studies in the Sermon on the Mount today, we're going to be studying Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. You know, Jesus has just talked about laying up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on the earth. And he's talked about serving God instead of serving wealth or mammon. In these verses we're going to look at, Jesus tells us now, stop worrying about your daily needs. Be faithful to God and he will provide for you. So what Jesus is doing is still showing us how our righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. First of all, Jesus gives an appeal for an accurate appraisal there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food or meat, and the body than raiment? You see, serving mammon, which is the previous verse there, verse 24, serving mammon brings anxiety and worry. Serving God brings peace and joy. And you know, ordinary care for our daily needs is not forbidden in these verses. When we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, first of all, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, therefore, even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know, we are to be working so that we can provide for our bodies, for our families. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In chapter 4 here in 1 Timothy verse 4 says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So there's nothing, you know, ordinary care for daily life, you know, the needs of this life are not forbidden here. But when our care for these temporary things becomes anxiety, that is whenever we do not trust in God anymore. You see, if we've stopped, whenever those care for those ordinary needs that we have every day becomes anxiety and worry, we've stopped depending on God and trust only ourselves. You see, worry about earthly treasures and bodily needs will turn us from God to the slavery of mammon again. And we've already read there in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you're serving mammon, you're going to be concerned about these things. But if you're serving God, you don't have to be. You don't have to concern yourself with those things. Because God provided you a life and a body, and he will provide what you need to sustain them. And then Jesus there mentions, is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You know, your life is worth more than food. It's a gift from God. And God gave you your life, and he will provide the food to maintain it. Your body is more than clothing. You know what our body is? It's a house for our immortal spirit. And if God gave us our body, which he did, he will provide protection for that body. You know, we are more important than the food we eat, and the body we inhabit is more important than the clothing we wear. And now Jesus is going to give some examples. He's telling those he's speaking to there, and he's telling us today, just look around. Look around. Look at nature. The first thing he says there in Matthew 6:26 is, look at the birds. Just look at the birds. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So he says, you know, the birds, they don't have little pieces of farm equipment to plant seed, and they don't have little pieces of farm equipment to have to get out there and harvest their crops. God provides food for the birds, and the birds fill the morning with their songs and the evening with the wonderful music they have. And whenever they stop in the evening, certain places in the country you go out, and there are the whippoorwills singing or whatever kind of bird it may be. But they fill the world with their beautiful singing. And God provides for them. And humans are more valuable than birds. Keep your marker here in Matthew 6. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to begin reading there in verse 29 down through verse 31. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Stopping right there for a minute, how important are the birds to God? One of them doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing it. And then he says, verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. See, there, the bird may fall, bird may die, God knows it. But he numbers our hair. He knows how many hair we have on our head. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. We are of much more importance to God than many sparrows or many birds. You know, God gives human beings an immortal soul. He doesn't do that for birds. Christ died for human beings. He didn't die for birds. And yet God takes care of the physical needs of birds. Will he not also take care of our physical needs if we are obedient to him? And you go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. You know, just what can worry really do for you? What can it really accomplish? Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? The American Standard Version says, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to his stature? You know, really, what do we accomplish when we worry? Can you make yourself taller by worrying about it? Can you make your life longer by worrying about it? You know, you look up the word that is translated stature here, the Greek word, this is Thayer's definition. It means age or time of life or stature in height and comeliness of stature. So it could be meaning either one here. Are we going to be able to add 1 second to our life by worrying about it? Can we add 1/4 of an inch to our height by worrying about it? And you know, the answer to both of those is no. By worrying, we're not going to accomplish any of that, but we'll see what worry does momentarily. But our lives are short at best. You go over to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, I want to look at verses 4 and 5. Psalm 39, 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. We need to understand and realize how frail we are. Now, you look around and there are those that are strong, and some people call them gentle giants maybe, but you know, people that are strong and big and healthy, but realize how frail we are. When you go to Psalm 90, begin reading there in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, the mortal man, to death, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Now we drop down to verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I wanted to go ahead and read verse 9 and 10 as well. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And then verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to be paying attention to the things that we're doing in this life. So many times we seem to turn away from God, and it's not an overnight thing. We become concerned about the things of this life and begin to enjoying the things of this life. It's just like those over in the parable of the sower, the ones there that received the seed among the thorns. Matthew chapter 13 verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful. And it doesn't happen overnight, does it? It happens gradually, slowly, a little bit at a time. And you know, we need to realize we cannot even do that which is least, adding any time to our lives, adding any height to our stature. Why worry about the things that we cannot do? In Luke chapter 12, look at verses 25 and 26. Luke chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. It says, which of you, with taking thought, or by being anxious or worrying about it, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought, or why worry you for the rest? And then he goes back and looks at some of the things that we're going to look at over here now as well, because he's already talked about the birds here in verse 24 of Luke 12. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? So we look at these things, and what about worry? What does worry do for us? Worry causes physical problems. Worry often shortens lives. It shortens our life through shattered nerves, stomach ulcers, high blood pressure, heart attacks. These are often the result of constant worry, and that wears out the mind and it wears out the body. It distracts the attention from our real source of help, which is God. It lessens the power of our decision making and pushes us gradually into a frustrating incapacity to deal with life. When we worry about so many things, do you know worry is sin? Because worry is not trusting God. In Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be ye careful for nothing. The American Standard says, in nothing be anxious. In going with our lesson, we would say, stop worrying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that's what we're looking at over here in Matthew 6, isn't it? Cast our cares on God. And we're going to look at the verse here in Peter in a little bit. But God cares for us. God will take care of us. Cast our worries, our cares on God. His shoulders are big enough to handle them. Ours are not. We must depend on Him. Now, Jesus has used this example of the birds. God takes care of the birds. Now, in Matthew 6, 28 and 29, Jesus says, look at the lilies. Just look at the lilies. Matthew 6, 28 and 29. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, Jesus says, why are you worrying about clothing? He says, consider the lilies. The word consider there comes from a Greek word that means note carefully. In other words, take a look at them. Why are you worrying about what your clothing is? Look around at all the beauty with which God hath ordained this world. The beautiful flowers, they don't work for their decoration. They don't spin thread. They don't sew together different colors of material to receive their beauty. They grow that way. That's the way God made them. And one of God's beautiful little lilies is dressed more gloriously than Solomon ever was. You see, Solomon represented the ultimate of royal magnificence to the Jewish mind. Let's go over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 14 through 23. 1 Kings 10, 14 through 23. This is all talking about Solomon. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. That's 666 talents of gold. And I just have a note written in my Bible. I don't know what gold is worth today, but back in 1993, it was worth $80 million. Verse 15. Beside that, he had of the merchant men and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. A target is a long shield. And 600 shekels of gold went to one target, to one shield. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. Those were the smaller shields. But each shield was worth, or had $18,000 worth of gold in it. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield, and the king put him in the house of the forest in Lebanon. Verse 18, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, And there were stays on either side of the place of the seed, and two lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on one side and upon the other side, and upon the other, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And that's just talking about his throne. Verse 21. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Solomon's days, it was worth, silver was nothing. Verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish in the navy, or with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. So we see all these things about Solomon. And people today struggle to put together lavish wardrobes, and yet they cannot compete in beauty with one of God's little flowers for their magnificence and beauty. Those flowers, they don't even have the ability to fret and worry like we do. Back over in Matthew chapter 6, now in verse 30, Jesus is just basically pointing out here, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Matthew 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Ye of little faith. That's the conclusion that Jesus came to there. God takes care of the grass that grows today, and tomorrow it's gone. The grass of the field there in those days was used for fuel in baking bread. So it's here today, it's cut up, it's dried, it's cast into the oven, it's used for baking bread. God takes care of the grass, which is today is, and tomorrow is gone, is cast into the oven. You're using the grass that God provided for fuel. And if God takes care of the grass, will he not also take care of you? You see, the absurdity of worry about clothing is shown when you look at flowers and grass. When we worry, we show our lack of faith in God. The same faith that trusts God for grace and guidance through his word must also trust God for garments and groceries. So what does Jesus say? Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. The American Standard again. Be not therefore anxious. Again with our lesson today. Stop worrying. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Jesus commands us, don't worry. And this command is equal to any other command that Jesus gave. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That is a command. That command to go and teach the world and baptize in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach again the things that were commanded us to do, those are commands, just like the command here. Take therefore no thought. Stop worrying. It's a command. John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we love God, we're going to stop worrying. Now, I know that's a lot easier said than done. We have to learn to depend on God. We need to learn to stop depending on ourselves. Learn to depend on God. You know, 1 Timothy 6 goes right along with this. And I know it hadn't been long ago that we looked at that passage, but let's go back and look at it again. 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 6 and reading down through verse 11. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, just stop and look at that verse for a minute. Living godly and content, being content with what God has given us. He says that is great gain. Great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave this world with nothing. Now, we've already mentioned before that, Revelation 14, 13, we'll turn over and read that, and then we'll come back to 1 Timothy 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So we will take our works. They're going to be following us. But we're not going to take any wealth with us. We're not going to take any material things with us. Those things are all going to stay here. We continue reading there in verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And isn't that what Jesus is saying over here in Matthew 6? Verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And here he says, verse 8 of 1 Timothy 6, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Be content with the things that God has given us. Verse 9, but they that will be rich, in other words, they have a desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. You look around at the people who want to be rich. They're drowning themselves. They're hurting themselves. They're destroying their lives. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all evil. This is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We must be careful in our lives. You know, the word worry is defined this way in Webster's 1828 dictionary. There are a couple of ways that worry is mentioned. It says to tease, to trouble, to harass with importunity or care, or with care and anxiety. Persons are often worried with care and solitude. And then it next he says, worry him out till he gives his consent. A church worried with reformation. Number two definition, to fatigue, to harass with labor. Number three, to harass by pursuit and barking as dogs worry sheep. Number four, to tear, to mangle with the teeth. Number five, to vex, to persecute brutally. And you think about that. When we worry, we are brutally persecuting ourselves. And that's something we can't do. It is sin to do that. We should be more concerned about our souls than we are about our bodies. The Bible Study Textbook Series states this about Matthew 6, 31 and 32, and I quote, "Wall-to-wall carpets, boats, color TV, second and third cars, household appliances, etc. There is nothing wrong with these things in themselves, except that they are of this earth, and being the objects of our straining and our loving care, they may well become our real God," unquote. So like they said, you know, there's nothing wrong with having wall-to-wall coat, nothing wrong with, or carpet, nothing wrong with having a boat or a color TV or second or third cars or these household appliances, but whenever they become our God, that's when it's wrong. You know, Job was a rich man, but his riches didn't control him. Abraham was a rich man, but his riches did not control him. Unlike that young man there in Matthew chapter 19, his riches did control him. Matthew 19, beginning there in verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 20. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." You see, his possessions had become his God. He was a good man. He had done all these things. He had not done anything wrong there in those commandments that Jesus had told him about. But where he was lacking was he loved his riches. His riches were more important to him than God. And you'll notice he went away sorrowful. You know what he just did, right? Go back to verse 16. "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus told him that would good thing. "Sell all that you have, give to the poor, come and follow me." So you know what he just did? He just turned down eternal life. He had the opportunity. Jesus told him what he needed to do to be complete, that word perfect, complete in his life. And he was not willing to do it. He was a good man, yes. But he would not do what God commanded him to do. Therefore, unless he repented, he was lost. He laid eternal life aside because he wanted his riches. How sad that is. Jesus there is saying in Matthew chapter 6, verses verse 32 that worry is a characteristic of heathens who do not trust God. And what good is it to claim to be a follower of God and then act like we never heard of him? We don't trust him. And how many times in the Exodus, in the wilderness, in the Judges, times of Joshua, the times of the Judges, the times of the Kings, how many times did they show their lack of trust in God? But why not bring that forward to us? How many times have we shown our lack of trust in God when we worry about things? Our Heavenly Father, he knows what we need to live. He created us. He cares for us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says there, and I want to read verse 6 to get the context a little more. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We need to understand there that God cares for us, and we can cast our cares upon him. Whenever you look at the Greek words there, casting, that means to throw upon. You're throwing your worries, your care. And you notice he says all. The Greek word means all, any, every, the whole, all of your care. All, it says there, through the idea of distraction. Thayer says that that word means care and anxiety. Vincent's word study says all your care, the whole of your care. Not every anxiety as it arises, for none will arise if this transference has been effectually made. You need to have already cast those cares on God. It's what Vincent's word studies is here saying. It says, for he careth for you. The word careth there. To be of interest, that is to be concerned. Only in the third person singular present indicative, it says here in Strong's, used impersonally, it matters. We matter to God. God is of interest, has interest in us. He is concerned about us. Again, going back to Vincent's word studies, it says there, meaning the watchful care of interest and affection. God has great affection for us. We can cast all our anxiety on God. And as they were saying earlier, we should have already done that. Whenever all these things arise in our lives, we're not going to be worried about those things. We've already cast our care on God. And that word casting, I want to read what Vincent's word study says about it as well. The aorist participle denoting an act once for all. Throwing the whole life with his care on him. Throwing our whole life with all the cares we are ever going to experience on God. The aorist participle, that means it's a one-time act. We've already done it. It's already been taken care of. And again, I know that's easier said than done. But we need to learn to do it. If we'll cast all our care up on Him, He'll care for us. Our lives matter to God. He is the one who is willing to take care of us. We need to realize that food and clothing and shelter are not our greatest needs, and we shouldn't waste our time worrying about them. There's so many things in this world we worry about. But Jesus now says, put the important thing first. The important thing, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. We defeat worry by striving to put God's kingdom first in our lives. We can defeat worry, but the cure for worry, to put the church first and make every effort to be righteous as God is righteous. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom is the church. There in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 16, 13 through 18. Get the whole context. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, that just means son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that confession he just made, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom and the church there being synonymous. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, right there, the church and the kingdom are synonymous. Jesus is saying, put the church first and be righteous like God is. Strive to be righteous. Putting God's kingdom first is a program that is guaranteed to lead God's followers into the peace of soul that only God's children can obtain. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not food and clothing and drinking and all that, what we drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace with God. And we can have that peace with God. And joy, the joy that we can have when we have that peace by living righteously. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, we read verse 6 earlier, now let's read verse 7 also. Verse 6 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we cast all of our care on God, we cast our care, we cast our worries on God, then we can have that peace that is talked about here in verse 7. A peace that is we just can't comprehend. It passes all understanding. And that shall keep. That word keep there in the Greek means to guard. That will guard our hearts and minds. It'll guard our thoughts through Christ Jesus. The peace that we can have. And then Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, stop worrying about tomorrow. Don't worry now, and don't worry about tomorrow either. Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So don't be worried about tomorrow. I wanted to look and see the literal translation of the Bible. It says, then do not be anxious for tomorrow, for the morrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient to each day is its own trouble. You know, don't be worrying about tomorrow. It's got enough of its problems of its own. You know, what he's saying, don't worry about the future. You may not be around. Worldly things are not that important. We often worry about things that we think may happen, and they don't even happen. And a lot of times they don't happen. Sometimes maybe, but we worry about things. We worry about this. We worry about what if that happens? What if this happens? Stop worrying. Seek God's kingdom first. Let tomorrow take care of itself. We have enough responsibilities and problems to take care of today. Every day is going to bring its own responsibilities and its problems. Don't add tomorrow's problems to today's troubles. Let them take care of themselves. Robertson's word picture says this about Matthew 6:34, and I quote, the ghost of tomorrow stalks out with all its hobgoblins of doubt and distrust, unquote. We worry, we're thinking about all those things. But when we learn to live one day at a time, we can stop worrying. We cast our cares on God. You know, over in James, James chapter 5, as soon as I can get there, James chapter 4, I'm sorry, verses 13 through 15. Go to now. That just means, come on now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And if we say the Lord will, we shall do this or that, what have we done? We've turned our lives over to God. We're not worried about taking care of those things. Well, what if next year the stock market falls? What if a month from now I get cancer? You know, whatever our worries may be, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. We've got to look at life with the right viewpoint. God provides for birds. God provides for plants. God's going to provide our needs if we trust Him and obey Him. Stop worrying about worldly things. The cure for worry? Seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee.
When you're in Moody, Missouri, you're invited to visit the Moody Church of Christ, located on Highway E in Moody, Missouri. The congregation there meets on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible class, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 6 p.m. for Sunday evening worship. They also meet at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night for Bible study. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We thank you for listening.